I'm always accused of not being able to be heard. Is the sound going out well? Can you hear me? Okay. They always tell me I have a very quiet voice, and I have a voice that is not in range of those that have a hard time hearing. And that's, I moved down here because I figured you couldn't see me up there, but I couldn't see you. This is how tall I grew to be. Indeed, as I've said, it is a joy to be here. It's always a joy to be in worship, and I've only had a month off from being in the pulpit every Sunday. So it was wonderful to talk with Bill, and I'm glad to be here. And indeed, as we had that prayer time, we need to be in prayer for Bill, for renewal. I know that the years of serving and of being there, trying to be there for everybody, how important it is for your prayers for Bill and for pastors in general. It isn't that important. God saw that it was good. He said that a few times together. And that was the words that God kept saying. And do you think God still thinks it's good? Do you think God is pleased with us and loves us as much as he did as creation began? I think so too. What do you think of when you think of the Garden of Eden? You have a picture that comes to mind when you think Garden of Eden. We hear that, you know, there are places that are named still today. There's the town of Eden, Lake Eden, tucked away in the hills near Waterville. And there are spas, and they'll talk about Eve, they'll talk about the Garden of Eden. And so that's still out there. What do you think of? What do you think it was like? And where might we go to find the Garden of Eden? Are there places that we travel to? We had the joy of going to on a gondola ride up to Mount, where did we go? Mount Mansfield. Yes, we see that right out by our house. We went up to Mount Mansfield on Friday. Went up, and it was gorgeous up there. And as I had been thinking about creation and looking around and seeing the mountains and being in that place where it was quiet, where it was peaceful, where it was beautiful. Those are things that I think about when I think of creation. But that first creation is the story as we heard those words. It was new. It was fresh. It was bright. It was beautiful as it became creation. It was organic. It was without pollution. All of those things. It was beautiful. It was green. It was that wonderful thing. But what are the places, where do we find our Garden of Eden in our daily lives? Where do we go to find that place? I find the warmth of the sun. I find the quiet, you know, in the shade of a tree. I read this week, I read daily guideposts. I don't know if any of you are familiar with the guideposts and daily guideposts. And Elizabeth Sherrill, who writes in this often and has been for years and years, spends a week starting on Wednesday. Words from the sea. And she is spending a week at the sea. And as she is in that creation, it is bringing her back to her spiritual foundation. And each time she finds that there's something new that she observes. The first time she says consolation. As she went to her familiar place at the ocean, she found that a storm had come and disturbed it. And she was kind of sad, thinking, oh, we won't be able to do the same old walk. But then they realized that it opened up a new path and a new place to explore. And she said, when God takes away something precious, the ocean tells me he sends another gift in its place. And so she went on, and the next day it was awe. And she was just gazing and stretching and found that the intensity, immensity of God's creation, she became in awe. Sort of like when we were on Mount Mansfield and watching our grandsons and their father walked up to the chin, climbed up through the chin as we watched from down below, and the magnificent view. They came back just so excited from the view of God's wonder. And then she said, persistence. The ocean comes and back and forth. I always find that a spiritual experience to be at the ocean in that coming back and forth, and that pattern that has been set up. And so she shares those, which brought me to that ocean, which I love, that ocean that I always find that lifts me up. She talks about change. She talks about beauty. All of these things that brought her closer to God. And I think that is part of this, as we look at the beginnings with the creation. The creation story. Genesis is the story of beginnings, of all of the beginnings. God breathed, God made, God spoke, and God saw that it was good. And then those words, and there it was. God said this, and there it was. Each thing that as he created, it became. And so the creation story, we learn how things began. And it's the beginning. It introduces us to the story that we have with God. We all share in that story. We all connect. We talked about little connections, that Morris being born here in Bristol and my dad being a part of Moncton Church, that connection. So that before we came, Morris and I came as strangers, we were connected. And as we are all here, we are all connected in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I parted from my congregation, I said, but we will still be connected even though we aren't there. There is that connection that we have in Jesus Christ. But the story that we read today, the story of Genesis, begins us. It's a story of hope. It's a story of how God created for us, and the story continues into relationships. God created so that we would be in connection, we would be in relationship with God. And so those beginnings, the beginnings of family, the beginnings of community, the beginnings of life, the beginnings of how God would be working and walking with us in all things. But there is a question about creation. Creation, our high schools do not want to talk about creation as a theory for how the world began. And yet, there is that story close to my heart. When I was going to seminary, when I was going to the course of study in Wesley, I read a book for my theology class. I went to Barnes & Noble and took a book off of their theology area, and it was called God, the Evidence by Patrick Glenn. He was a philosopher. He was an atheist. He was skeptical of any religion or any God. And he was determined to demonstrate that God does not exist. And in the process of doing that, in the process of doing his scientific studies, and in the process of going through this, he became a Christian. And he began to realize that the need for everything to be precise, the order for the capability of the universe to produce life, it couldn't have just happened randomly. He said, the world is not a product of blind chance or probability. God created. And God saw that it was good. And then he talked about that there was a new trend, the new importance of faith that he was seeing with his scientific friends, in that there was that connection with those that have faith and how they live and their health, and that it became important that all of a sudden the healthy person needs to be healthy not only physically but mentally and spiritually. And so that conflict that continues in our world. I found that book comforting, to be able to read here as a scientist that had explored it and had come around and found a close life with Christ. I also read a book called My Grandmother's Blessing by Rachel Naomi Remen, who is a medical doctor. And she talks about her role as a doctor and how when she began as a doctor that she would just tell the facts and, you know, you have this disease and this is what you do to get over it. This is how to be healed. And she began to learn that that wasn't working. They were taught not to have a relationship with the people their patients, that this was business. And she began to rebel on that. And then her book is all about the stories of how as she began to relate to her patients and talk to them on a spiritual level, how they became healed and how that was a healing part. And that as she talked with other doctors who said, oh, no, you can't do that. And as they began to realize that there was that personal element. I think that's something for us, too. I think sometimes in our faith, we think of our relationship with God as something we keep separate and private. But we grow as we share our faith with one another, as we become intimate with the Lord, as we open our hearts and let God in, then there's that relationship. That's what God was all about as he created, as he went through all of the steps of giving us all this beauty, that he was about that relationship. And as he sent Jesus, as we've sung about Jesus this morning, we've talked about how Jesus loves us, and that's all we need as you sang in that choir. That relationship that God was after in the turmoil of all of our struggles in our world, it was after that relationship. You know, God introduced choice very early in this creation story, and we know what choice has turned out to be. It's very difficult sometimes. We know this is the right thing to do, but really I want to do this. And so we know that things changed in our story as we take scripture and we begin in the beginning, as we did this morning, that we only read that first chapter. And we know that there's tons of stories in here. There's the stories of the struggles, of how people wanted to be faithful and how they wandered and how God was present and how as they came back to God, as the prophet said, turn back to God. As we turn back to God, we are back in relationship. And so all through all of these stories, we are continuously being brought back and we are forgiven God gave us many gifts. He gave us the gift of choice, but then he gave us the gift of guidance and the gift of wisdom and the gift of walking with us and the gift of his presence. And so we take all of those gifts and we apply them, we receive them and hold them dear, so that as we walk through and have those struggles and we have those choices to make, we know that we are loved, we know that we are forgiven, and we know that God is present in our lives. And as we receive that and are in relationship with God, we are relationship with one another, and we are community. These words, this relationship is what keeps us going, the healing power of Jesus in our lives. Amen.